and welcome to a Pro-Life Breakthrough teleconference and web simulcast. My name is Carmen Pate. I'm co-host of Point of View Radio Talk Show, but it is my privilege this evening to serve as your host and your facilitator for this discussion. Please join me in a moment of prayer as we ask the Lord to bless our time together. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, who gives us life, we come to you in total humility, recognizing that you alone created us in our mother's wombs, and you alone number our days. We ask for mercy, dear Lord, for our nation, for the atrocity of abortion that has claimed the lives of nearly 50 million babies since 1973 and has brought devastation to the lives of millions of women and men. Lord, we know that justice will be done according to your perfect timing and your perfect plan. But, Lord, we also know that in the interim, you invite your people to get in on the work that you're already doing to end abortion. We pray for these leaders who have heard your call to action and have responded in obedience by joining us this evening. We rejoice in the results still coming in from the fall 40 Days for Life campaign that changed hearts and minds to embrace a culture of life and not death. We go forward now in hopeful anticipation of the mighty things that you will continue to do through these campaigns as we seek you first and give glory to Christ alone who is worthy. For it is in his name that we pray. Amen. Well, let me quickly run through some helpful instructions for you this evening, because several hundred pro-life leaders and activists are joining us on this conference line. All lines have been muted, except for those of the panel members. So you don't have to worry that we might hear your dog barking or children playing or yelling mom in the background. If you're listening via webcast, you may listen by clicking one of the players on the webpage. Now, you might experience an occasional five-second pause. Don't panic. This is common to Internet streaming, and you're not going to miss any of the discussion as it picks up where it left off. Everyone is invited to submit questions throughout our discussion or after our panel discussion. You can do so via the form on the web page that you were given. And if we don't get to your question tonight or if you're listening by recording, we encourage you to submit your questions through email at a later time, and someone will certainly respond promptly. You know, this has been one of the most exciting times to be pro-life, and part of that is because I believe God's hand of providence is moving across this nation as he stirs hearts and minds of men and women to come together to bring their gifts and their talents and their energies and their resources together to do what we can do by his leading to take a part in ending abortion in America. As a post-abortive woman, I have been involved in the pro-life movement for 20-some-odd years now, and I realize that certainly abortion transcends denominational lines, organizational lines. I understand that, yes, abortion has become a political battle in this country, but it began as and always will be a spiritual battle. And that is why I am particularly interested in being a part of the 40 Days for Life campaign. It was totally by God's hand of providence that I am involved. David B. Wright, who is the National Campaign Director of 40 Days for Life, is out of the state of Virginia, yet I met him in South Dakota. It's also where I met Sean Carney, who's the executive director of a community-based pro-life organization and also serves on our board for the 40 Days for Life campaign. I met Sean also in South Dakota. I believe that was God's doing. Nothing is by accident. He orchestrates everything for his purposes and for our good. We crossed paths again at a Starbucks, and it was at that time when we met as a threesome once again and talked about the possibility of my participating in this campaign. I knew that it was a calling from the Lord. I knew because of my experiences as a post-abortive woman, I knew because of my experiences having run a pregnancy care center and having counseled many who were considering abortion over the years. I knew because God was speaking to my heart that it was for such a time as this that we have been drawn together to work together to see His mighty hand at work to end abortion in America. That's why I'm involved, and that's why I'm excited about being here tonight so that you too might prayerfully consider how you might become involved as well. So tonight, here's what we're going to be discussing. We're going to talk about what is 40 Days for Life. We'll be discussing the summary of the impact from the fall 2007 campaign. We'll hear feedback from two major surveys that were done from pro-life leaders and participants from our fall campaign. We're going to hear specific 40 Days for Life campaign plans for 2008. We have the rare privilege of hearing from two prominent religious leaders. One, Father Frank Pavone, who, of course, is the National Director of Priests for Life and National Pro-Life Religious Council. We'll also hear from Dr. Sonny Foraker, pastor of First Baptist Church of Pearland, Texas. He's also the founder and director of Pastors for Life. You also are going to hear exactly how you can make a life-saving impact in your community. You'll have your questions answered. Those that you submit on the form here on our webpage will be answered before we end our call tonight. Our objectives by the end of the call include you knowing what the plans are for 2008. You'll know why this course of action was chosen, and we have absolute confidence that you are going to be excited for your community, for your state, and for your nation. And finally, we prayerfully consider and hope that you will decide to participate in our 2008 plans. Once again, welcome. Thanks for being with us. And let me turn the program now over to Sean Carney, who will share with us the 2007 campaign wrap-up. Sean?
Well, thanks, Carmen, and I'm glad to be on here with everyone. One of the things that we talked about earlier was that not everybody on this call may know exactly what 40 Days for Life is. We've had such a reach, and so we wanted to give a brief overview. 40 Days for Life started right here in Bryan College Station, Texas, in 2004 by a local grassroots organization that just looked at what God has accomplished in 40 days and what He could accomplish in 40 days if we poured all of our energy and efforts on a local grassroots level into ending abortion in our community. And so that started with 40 days of prayer, 40 days of fasting, and 40 days of a 24-hour peaceful prayer vigil we held in our town outside our local Planned Parenthood abortion facility. That effort led in 2004 to a 28% drop in local abortion numbers that year, and all of a sudden we had all this momentum and a little bit of national attention, and other communities were contacting us all across the country to do this campaign. Seattle, Washington did one, Green Bay, Charlotte. Over those following 2 years, since 2004, there were a total of 7 40 Days for Life campaigns. So we looked at what God was doing through this campaign, how He was bringing people not only into the pro-life movement, but saving lives and bringing healing to post-abortive women. And so we decided to join Him in that work, and that's what we did. This last fall of 2007 launched the first ever national simultaneous of 40 Days for Life. And, of course, the results were just absolutely amazing. Over 100,000 people in this past fall united in prayer across the country. 40 Days for Life was done in 89 cities in 33 states across America. Over 22,000 people physically went out to the clinics to pray, physically went to pray for an end to abortion outside of the abortion clinics. We had, more importantly than all of this, 340 reported saves, babies that were saved as a result of 40 Days for Life, and that's just the number that we have documented, but at least 340 babies that were saved from abortion because of this effort. We had over 153 media stories. We had post-abortive women who found healing. We actually had two abortion clinic workers who had conversions and left their jobs due to the presence outside of their workplace. We just had so much excitement across the country. It lit hope in the minds and hearts of everybody. It tapped into the thousands of pro-lifers who are out there who want something tangible to do. They want to make a difference, but they want it to be focused on Christ. They want it to be focused on prayer, and they want to shed light on the darkness that surrounds their abortion clinic locally. And it was so amazing as we saw everything fold out because people didn't want to stop. And I think that that's one of the victories of this last 40 Days for Life that happened across the country is how many cities continue to have vigils. I know here we still have a prayer presence from 7 in the morning to 6 o'clock at night while our local abortion clinic is open. We have sidewalk counselors out there, and that we saw that across the country, people wanting to continue these pro-life efforts so it wasn't just one big shot in the arm and then you get tired and you go away and you never do it ever again. There was excitement. There was momentum. People knew that this was the work of God and they could see the lives being saved. They could see the women being healed. It was just absolutely amazing. And even locally, you know, this was our second one. We did it in 2004 and in 2007, I thought, well, will people be tired of this? Or are people, you know, used to 40 Days for Life because we did it a few years ago and they weren't. In fact, we had just locally 400 new volunteers physically go out to the clinic. And so the excitement locally was just great. It was a lot of work on a local level, and then certainly we saw all the people that did the campaigns in other cities across the country, but the momentum and the hope for the future really inspired this campaign.
Just amazing results. And David B. Wright, it's one thing for your national team leaders to talk about how great the campaign was, but you took it a step further. You had some surveys that were done of pro-life leaders and participants from the fall campaign. Tell us what they had to say.
Well, Carmen, that's a great question. And just to kind of set the stage for this and to piggyback off of what Sean just said, my family traveled a lot during the 40 days. My kids and my wife went to 28 of the cities. I went to another 8. So I went to 36 of the cities during the 40 days. And it was right towards the end of the campaign that I was in Fargo, North Dakota, and had given a talk to a group of people. And afterwards, a young man named Patrick rolled up to me in his wheelchair. And he said, "Mr. B. Wright, I know you're committed to this whole 40 days thing." He said, "But I hope you're not offended. We have to keep going. We can't stop because too much is at stake." And that was when it really hit me that that's the sentiment that we were seeing all over the country. People didn't want to stop because they were seeing so much fruit from their efforts. And because of the incredible results that were coming about all over the country, there was also tremendous interest from other people in other cities around the country. Just during the 40-day campaign, Carmen, I had more than 60 other cities that were not doing a 40 Days for Life contact me and say, "We want to do a campaign." And we had another 20-plus countries that reached out to us saying, "We're interested in duplicating this in our country." So as we saw that interest, we saw the local people who were doing a campaign who didn't want to stop, we realized we have to find a way to help those who have not yet done a 40 Days for Life, and we have to help those who are in the midst of finishing up a 40 Days for Life campaign. And so the decision was made to conduct two surveys to those two different audiences to find out, because unlike many other organizations and efforts, this has been a grassroots movement throughout. This is not a top-down, hierarchical-type effort. This is a grassroots effort, and honestly, it's the local people at the local level who are creating transformational change with God's help. And so we decided, rather than us as a national team trying to come up with what the next steps would be, nobody better could lead us and direct us in that than those who had been on the ground doing the campaign and those who were feeling this urgency and this burden to do this campaign in their community. So the first group of people that we surveyed were the campaign leaders from the fall 2007 campaign. We gave them a few days off after their campaign, and then we sent them a 30-question survey and asked them to please fill this out to help shape the future of this for the next round or whatever God had in store next. Well, out of those 89 cities, 81 of them went through and completed the entire survey. And so we were very blessed by that feedback. And there were three questions that I really want to key in on here because these help to shape the next step plans. The first of those questions was, do you think there needs to be another nationwide coordinated 40 Days for Life campaign? In other words, do you think we need to do again what you have just done? The response we got was overwhelming. 91.5% of the respondents said, yes, there needs to be another nationwide coordinated 40 Days for Life. 0% said no, and 4.2% said maybe. And the difference between 100 were people who skipped the question. So 91.5%, yes, there needs to be another nationwide coordinated 40 Days for Life. The next question that was pertinent, would your community be willing to do another 40 Days for Life campaign? Now, keep in mind, these are people who have just worn themselves almost to the ground. Many of them had to go and reintroduce themselves to their spouses because of the incredible hours and sacrifice and work they had put in. People who were just weary, but yet the people, when asked, would you be willing to do this again, 88.7% said yes, 0% said no, and 11.3% said don't know. And I understand that. They're tired. This was like a week or 2 weeks after their campaign was done. So 88.7% said they, not just there should be another one for other people, they said they would be willing to do it again. And then the third question from this survey I really wanted to spotlight, they were asked, if so, if there was going to be another campaign that you would participate in, when would you consider doing another local 40 Days for Life campaign? And they could select all of the ones that applied. The responses were very, very clear. Spring 2008 garnered a 33.3% response. Summer 2008 garnered a 15.9% response. Fall 2008 was an overwhelming 69.6% response. So of those who'd conducted a 40 Days for Life campaign, they leaned heavily towards doing it again, needed to be nationally coordinated, needed to be in the fall of 08. Now, go to the next group. These are the people who participated either at a distance or on just a volunteer level in campaigns around the country. These are people who were praying with us through the daily devotionals. These were people who may have been in a town that wasn't doing a 40 Days for Life, but they were following it. This is people who may have participated in their community. Out of that group of people, and everybody on this call probably was invited to participate in that survey, we had 663 people respond and fill that survey out. And a few questions to point out. First, to let you know who these people are, when asked, was a 40 Days for Life campaign held in your town this fall, 47.7% said yes, 43.8% said no, and 8.5% said don't know. And some people obviously checked more than one at a time. But again, clearly it was pretty much an even split. Some had a town that did it, some didn't, some people didn't even know. Great. So that's where we're at. It's a mix of people. So the next question, do you think there should be another nationwide coordinated 40 Days for Life campaign? 97.3% said overwhelmingly yes. There was a 0.5% that said no, and we had a couple of abortion advocates who filled out this survey, and we had 2.3% that said not sure, and I appreciate their honesty on that. So 97.3%, yes, there needs to be another nationwide coordinated 40 Days for Life. When this group, a different group, when this group was asked, if so, when should it be conducted, spring 2008 won, hands down, 41%, summer 2008 was 9%, and fall 2008 was 23%. Now, we also on this survey gave people the option to check other and then type in their responses. And of the people who checked other and typed in the responses, we heard a lot of people specifying wanting to do it in the pre-Easter, the Lenten season, during that time of sacrifice and preparing for the resurrection of our Lord. So if you actually add a lot of those others, they actually boosted the number of people who wanted it during the spring, but specifically during that time frame. And then the last question that we asked this group, because some of these people had not been involved, would your community be willing to be part of a future nationwide 40 Days for Life effort? 55.4% said yes, 1.2% said no, and not sure, 43.4%, and many people put the conditions under which they would be willing to consider it. So let's take all of this and wrap it up, put a pretty Christmas bow on it. What was the bottom line that we discovered in surveying people and letting them guide this next step of the process? Bottom line, those who had just finished leading a 40 Days for Life campaign overwhelmingly wanted another campaign, wanted another nationally coordinated campaign, but they wanted to wait until next fall. Those who did not just finish leading a campaign overwhelmingly wanted a campaign, overwhelmingly wanted it nationally coordinated, but wanted it done this spring, especially if it would coincide with the time frame before Easter during Lent. So that was the findings that we discovered from the survey. Well, at first glance, it would seem like those would almost conflict with each other. But with just a little bit of prayer and just a little bit of brainstorming, we realized that we could actually offer the best of both worlds. And the solution was as simple as those survey findings just made absolutely clear to us. The solution was to hold two coordinated campaigns during the year of 2008. Have one campaign that would give cities the chance to do a campaign who have not already done a 40 Days for Life, and doing it sooner than later, because those communities want to build on this momentum and they know that lives are being lost and they have fresh energy in their town. But also doing another campaign that would address the needs of those who just completed their 40 Days for Life a month and a day ago from today, so they would have time to regroup, they would have time to rest a little bit so they could plan and they could do other pro-life activities and solidify and equip and empower the people that had been brought forward during their campaign. So let me roll right into the campaign plans for 2008, and that is exactly it. There will be two 40 Days for Life coordinated national campaigns, and communities can pick which of those two campaigns they choose to participate in. Now let me give you the specifics of those two campaigns. The first one will be held in the spring, and it will be done in conjunction with the time frame prior to Easter. It will be done in parallel with the Lenten season. And many Christian churches begin the recognition of the time frame of Lent on February 6th, and so that is when the next 40 Days for Life campaign is going to kick off. Now, if you've got a calendar in front of you, look at your calendar. You will notice today is December 5th. February 6th is 2 months from tomorrow. There will be a kickoff of another 40 Days for Life campaign, and that campaign will go 40 consecutive days and will end on March 16th, which is the Sunday immediately before Easter. So it will not conflict with the week prior to Easter, when many people have lots of activities at church, gearing up for Easter services, travel, spending time with family, etc. So the campaign will go February 6th through March 16th. But a great opportunity, since many people are already reflecting on Christ's death and his resurrection, what a wonderful time to make the themes and the message of that 40 Days for Life campaign complement that Lenten season, that pre-resurrection time frame. And so we will definitely be doing that. Now, some of you look at February 6th and say, that is crazy. We live in the north. It's going to be cold. It's going to be chilly. I will tell you, there are cities in the north that have already told us they are doing a campaign starting February 6th with or without the support and help of the national team. And we began hearing this more and more and more, and we realized this is clearly the Holy Spirit at work, and rather than try to come up with our own time frame, we decided to just go with where he was moving and decided to follow that pattern. So we are going to hold the campaign. Now, if your community says, hey, we just absolutely can't do it due to the weather, that's fantastic. And we realize that due to the short turnaround time, 2 months from tomorrow, due to the weather issues and due to just other issues that you may have, we may have smaller numbers, and in fact, we expect that we will have a smaller number of cities joining together during that spring campaign, but that's okay, because each of those cities, for the most part, will be new cities that have not done this, and what an incredible opportunity in just 2 months to begin experiencing the kind of life-saving impact that Sean was just talking about. Think about hundreds of new people getting involved in your efforts. Think about saving many lives, maybe dozens of lives of innocent children, helping to protect women and men from abortion, helping to bring people to healing from abortion experiences in the past, generating new leaders. Why wait for an entire year when you can be doing that starting in 2 months? And so that spring campaign is the opportunity for many of you listening right now to do that. We also realize, to address the needs of those who just did a 40 Days for Life campaign, as well as those who may either just don't have enough time to prepare or just due to weather concerns, we decided to also hold a simultaneous coordinated campaign in the fall using a similar time frame to what was done this year. And that 40 Days for Life coordinated campaign will be held. The dates have already been locked down as of about 3 days ago. Those dates will be September 24th through November 2nd. That's a time frame that addresses weather, the best spread of weather for most parts of the country. It also ends 2 days before our national presidential election. What more important 40 days to be raising awareness about the importance of making life a crucial issue in every decision we make? But also, we realized, with it finishing on a Sunday right before a major election, many potential participants and leaders of the campaign of 40 Days for Life will also probably be involved in various different election efforts, whether it's campaigning for candidates, whether it's helping with legislative initiatives, whatever it is. And so we recognize that, and again, just like making the spring campaign work in conjunction and complementing the pre-Easter themes, this campaign will complement the pre-election efforts that are going on. And what a great opportunity to help spread the pro-life message and heighten awareness as people are about to go and cast votes in what could be one of the most pivotal elections in our nation's history. So what an incredible opportunity. So those are the two campaigns, February 6th through March 16th, September 24th through November 2nd. And for those who are listening who are in a city that just finished a 40 Days for Life, and some of you are probably still trying to get back into a normal pattern of sleep and you're trying to just get back into somewhat of a normal routine, I'm going to recommend for many of you that are part of a city that just did a 40 Days for Life, probably the spring campaign is too soon. And honestly, you probably shouldn't be doing more than one 40 Days for Life campaign within a one-year period in most cities unless you have a really good support network and organization and people to facilitate that, because you run the risk of burnout and you need to solidify the efforts that are generated during a campaign. However, I know there are a few of you in cities that just finished a campaign that feel convicted to do one in the spring, and I would just say pray for God's wisdom and His leading and then be faithful in what He shows you to do. Now, for the spring campaign, we were just, I have to be honest, when I looked at that time frame, I was just overwhelmed thinking, oh, we have to do this so quickly and turn it around so fast because we need to have time for the training cycle. We have training conference calls, we have manuals, we have all of these different things we provide to the communities that do the campaign, helping them to assemble their team and job descriptions and everything else. So we can't wait until the new year to begin doing this, or there's just not enough time. So what we have decided to do is open the registrations for the spring campaign 1 week from tonight. The registrations for the spring 40 Days for Life campaign will begin next Wednesday, December 12th, and they will go for 8 days, and they will close at midnight Pacific time on December 20th, which is a Thursday. That way you will already know going into the holidays, boom, we're going to do it, we're committed, and we can deliver some of the electronic training materials to you and get you started so you have things to reflect on when you have time, and then we're going to be hitting it really, really hard starting in the beginning of January in massive preparation for this spring campaign. Now, some of you are going, well, I'm not sure I'll know until January whether or not we're going to do it. If so, then great. You're going to be working with the fall campaign because we have to close off the registrations. And some of you know that you tried to register after the registration time for this fall, and we absolutely couldn't do it. We had to be fair to everybody and commit our resources and time and energy to helping those who had signed up. So the registrations begin a week from now. They will end on December 20th for the spring campaign. The registrations for the fall will begin later in the summer, and we'll send you updates about that. There will be a registration fee. We have information that you can go through and read up all about it. The registration fee will be the exact same as it was this past fall. It's $197 for the entire campaign, for all your tools, training, resources, web-based tools, everything, all of that. And in asking the leaders who did it this past time if they thought they got their money's worth, they started laughing and said, we got way, way more than our money's worth. So that's what you're looking at if you're thinking about registering. And again, starting 1 week from now, and we'll be notifying you by email. So let me pause there, and I'd like to hear Sean and Carmen, each of you maybe spend just a minute and share. You've been part of this planning process and hearing from all the leaders and hearing from all the ordinary people around the country that are wanting to do this. Sean, why don't you start? Tell me what you're excited about, and then Carmen, I'd love to hear your thoughts after that.
Well, I think there's no doubt in my mind, David, after what we just saw in 2007 and the potential that this 2008 both these campaigns could have, is I think that 08 will be the year that changes the abortion debate in America. I think it's going to change how people view the pro-life movement. I think it's going to change how people oppose local abortion facilities, many of which have never had local opposition at all. I just think that the prayer presence in all these cities at the same time, twice in 1 year, with the potential of this huge campaign in the fall when elections are at an all-time high and people are talking about abortion, I think we're going to change hearts and minds, and it's going to inspire our nation and change the abortion debate in our country.
You know, David, as fabulous as the fall campaign was, the truly miracles that we saw across this country, the amazing stories that were told, there's something in my spirit that tells me that that was just training for what we're going to be doing in 2008. When you consider that we have a campaign planned that will parallel with Lent, when you consider that we have a campaign plan that will lead up to the national election, presidential elections, this is not an accident, not at all. I think the spring campaign will again return all of our focus to the spiritual aspect of the atrocity of abortion and that it is a spiritual battle. I think our hearts and minds will be prepared, and as we move into the summer and into the fall, we'll realize that we have an opportunity to make a huge difference on the political scene for the fall elections. I also think about Planned Parenthood, how they literally are hanging by a thread with lawsuits against them, with the numbers of clinics dropping, having difficulties getting abortion doctors to come on the scene. We heard Sean talk about two clinic workers leaving and having a change of heart during the 40 Days for Life campaign. I believe that Planned Parenthood is in trouble, and I believe two more campaigns in 2008 will sort of be the pill that ends them. And I believe that there won't be a person involved in this campaign that won't be blessed by being a part of the amazing results that we're going to see God's hand have on the abortion movement and on changing hearts and minds for life in 2008.
Amen. Amen. Well, Carmen, I will turn it back to you at this point.
Well, again, we are just so privileged tonight to have two religious leaders who are going to give their insight on the campaign. We first want to hear from Father Frank Pavone. Again, he's National Director of Priests for Life and the National Pro-Life Religious Council.
Good evening, brothers and sisters. Though I'm speaking elsewhere tonight, I'm delighted to be able to share a few moments with you on this call by means of this message. I bring you the greetings of all of us at Priests for Life and also Gospel of Life Ministries. The first thing I want to say to you is that you have it in your hands to end abortion in your local communities. You know, many pro-life Americans who support this battle nevertheless want somebody else to fight it. Essentially, they want to hire the warriors. They want someone else to do the work, whether it's someone in government or in the church or some other leader, and certainly all of these people are necessary. But the fact of the matter is, each individual who wants to see an end to abortion has to get his or her hands dirty doing the work. And that is what is bringing us all together this evening and throughout the nation as we conduct this campaign. Abortion is an industry, and the more we can get our fellow pro-lifers to understand it that way, the more we'll understand that the weak link in this industry is precisely the abortion facilities and those who work there. We have a lot of different activities going on in the pro-life movement. There are a lot of different fronts for the battle, whether it's in the media, in Congress, or state legislatures, in academia, and many other fronts. But the weakest of these links is the actual running of the business. And that is where, by showing up at these abortion facilities, we capitalize on our strength against their weakness, because we've got the numbers, we've got the people, we've got those who are able to show up and by their prayerful presence turn back the tide of abortion, turn back specifically those who are going to get abortions, and turn back the undo the cover-up that the abortion industry continuously uses in order to justify this ongoing tragedy. It's bad for business when we show up. And those two words, show up, really summarize the winning strategy here. That is what is more determinative of the outcome of this battle than the way that it's conducted. The fact that we show up, no matter what we say or whether we say anything at all, it's more important that we show up than what particular signs we may have or which prayers we may say or when we might go or even than the name that we give the effort. The strength behind this effort is that the people of God come out as the people of God and go to the places where this tragedy is happening. It's coming to Calvary. It's the firefighters going to the fighter, the priest and the doctor going to the sick bed. It's Paul going out to the Areopagus to preach. It's the true church confronting the false church. The people of God have always won in causes of righteousness and justice by showing up, and by showing up consistently and faithfully. And that's why we are calling on people across the country to mobilize in this effort. The pro-life movement, furthermore, as so many of you know so well, is the greatest arena for unity across denominational lines, ethnic lines, political lines. I always think of the passage in the gospel where the apostles, they thought they were doing something good, and they came to Jesus and said, "Lord, we saw someone trying to cast out demons in your name, and we told them to stop." And Jesus said, "Don't tell them to stop. If they're speaking in my name, they can't possibly be against us." And so it is here. No matter who it is that comes forward or what particular groups or organizations, here we join together in a common effort to show up and to use our strength against the weakness of the abortion industry. In the Lenten campaign, as well as in the autumn campaign, Priests for Life, Gospel of Life Ministries, the National Pro-Life Religious Council is going to be doing a whole litany of activities to activate churches, and this is going to feed into and collaborate with the efforts that each of you are going to be making in your local communities. We did a survey of priests a few years ago regarding abortion, and we found out that about one-third of them had actually been to an abortion facility in prayerful vigils. We also found that those who had gone out to the abortion facilities were the ones most likely to be engaging in other types of pro-life activity. They were preaching more about it. They were having more events and activities for their congregation. In other words, the presence at the abortion facilities was both a sign and also a stimulus of greater awareness of the issue and activity on many other fronts. That's what's going to happen and is happening with this particular campaign, that people who go there and see the facility, the people going in and out of it, end up being more fired up to take on all different kinds of pro-life activity. And that's the final point that I want to stress, is that this is about people getting involved in the movement on every level, in every arena. A time of grace, a special Lenten period, and then later again in the fall, when by more prayer, by more penance, there is an increase of activity, not just in front of the abortion facilities, but in the pulpits and in the legislatures and in the political arena and in the family and in every other arena where we fight this battle. Sing to the Lord a new song, Scripture tells us. This is the time for the pro-life movement to sing a new song, to have a new intensity, a new confidence, a new determination to win. I look forward to seeing and being with all of you across the country at various times during the course of the 2008 40 Days for Life. I look forward to mobilizing our clergy and so many others who are still perhaps on the fringes of the pro-life movement. Now is the time for us to call them to a full involvement. Now is the time, brothers and sisters, to bring this movement, which has grown in so many different ways thanks to the commitment of each and every one of you, now's the time to bring this movement over the finish line for victory. The pro-life movement is winning. We have so many signs of progress. You are the most convincing sign. God bless you. We look forward to being in contact very soon.
Inspiring words indeed from Father Frank Pavone, again, the National Director of Priest for Life. Now let's go to the founder and director of Pastors for Life, Dr. Sonny Foraker, who is also the pastor of First Baptist Church in Pearland, Texas.
Hey, this is Dr. Sonny Foraker, the senior pastor at First Baptist Church in Pearland, Texas, just a few miles south of Houston, where I serve a wonderful congregation that we had the privilege just recently to participate in the Fall 40 Days of Life campaign in downtown Houston at one of the largest abortion clinics in the country in front of Planned Parenthood. I also serve on the Houston Coalition for Life, which helped to give leadership to that particular campaign in Houston. Some years ago, I helped to not only found but direct Pastors for Life, an organization that brings together pastors from all denominations and all faiths and ethnic backgrounds for the purpose of standing up for those who cannot speak for themselves, giving leadership to parachurch organizations and to churches to pray peacefully in front of abortion clinics, to be a presence, and realizing that the real battle to win this battle against abortion is in the spiritual. And therefore, if we're going to win in the spiritual, we must deal with it spiritually. And so we led folks to pray and to be present in front of abortion clinics. God honored that, and we saw 9 of 12 abortion clinics literally close, along with unbelievable number of girls and guys have changed lives. Workers within the clinics have changed lives. And so I believe that any time that we're able to bring the body of Christ together, all Christians of all faiths together, to pray and to be there with a presence, it is honored by God, and God does great and mighty things when He is pleased with His children in unity praying together. I had the wonderful privilege of leading our church to participate in the 40 Days of Life campaign, and many had never been there before, and they have continued to go back because it made such a difference in their life. It brought a lot of people together that normally wouldn't see each other outside of their own church walls, and we prayed in unity and together, and God blessed. I remember one case that downtown Houston, a lady walking by, walking her dog, stopped, had a conversation with her about, "What are you doing here?" And I explained to her, as I was off praying with someone else a little bit later, I looked back and happened to notice that this girl was now praying herself with a group of individuals. God moves even in the hearts of people who know nothing about the campaign, because that is exactly what God is doing. If you're considering why you should get involved in the 40 Days for Life campaign, or why you should increase your involvement, it needs to begin by the understanding that pro-life ministry starts with God. It's part of His redemptive plan. God is at work in pro-life ministry. And as we see what the Heavenly Father is doing, we have an opportunity to join Him in His work. Listen, if you're doubtful that God is at work in pro-life ministry, consider just a couple of abundant evidences. First, unborn babies are being saved from a violent death. Mothers are being saved from financial exploitation, physical injury, emotional and psychological trauma. And most importantly, many are led to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this takes place right there on the streets where you're praying, in the crisis pregnancy centers, and many other aspects of the pro-life ministry. And these are just some of the visible results. But there are a multitude of other ways God is at work in the pro-life ministry. I mean, families are restored, babies are adopted, attitudes towards children are changed, and yes, even churches are renewed. I would encourage each and every person that is involved in their church, that's involved in some pro-life ministry, even if it's once a year in the life chain, or volunteering in a CPC, or going down praying, to get involved in one of these 40 Days of Life campaigns in your community. It will make a difference, not only for those that find themselves in a crisis, but it will make a difference in your life too. God bless you.
Again, that was Dr. Sonny Foraker, founder and director of Pastors for Life. How exciting that we have religious leaders across denominational lines joining in, passionately excited about 40 Days for Life. You've had opportunity to hear results from surveys of pro-life leaders and participants of the fall 40 Days for Life campaign. You've heard passionate excitement from our national campaign leader, as well as Sean Carney, who was a participant and on our national force and also leading a campaign in College Station, Texas. So, David B. Wright, that leads us to what can our listeners do tonight? They want to know how they can make a life-saving impact.
Oh, Carmen, that is the ultimate bottom line question, and let's try to address that. I wanted to just pick up from something that Dr. Foraker just said, and when I talked to him earlier today and recorded that message because he wasn't available to be on tonight, and he was talking about closing down 9 of 12 abortion facilities. That was during his time when he lived in South Carolina. And that state today only has 3 remaining abortion facilities due to the efforts of faithful people in that state. And not coincidentally, all 3 of those remaining abortion facilities during the fall were covered with the 40 Days for Life campaign. My family went to all 3 of them, and as we met the people there, they talked about how they believed that this effort was going to bring an end to abortion in the state of South Carolina and make them an abortion-free state. And so the biggest thing that I think is crucial for somebody to make an impact in this is they have to start with faith and belief that it can happen. And the best way to do that is start by praying. This campaign is not a tangible, practical, worldly campaign. This is a spiritual campaign. Bottom line is abortion is a spiritual struggle between good and evil, light and darkness. And the most important thing we can do, knowing that with God all things are possible, we can pray. And so I would encourage everybody who's listening to this call, whether you're listening to the recording or the webcast or whatever, tonight, whenever you're done listening to this presentation, get down on your knees and ask God to show you what He has planned for you in this effort. And begin praying over these coming days about your role, what you are supposed to do. Are you supposed to participate in the spring 40 Days for Life campaign in 2008 or the fall 2008 campaign? Are you supposed to lead that effort locally in your community? Are you supposed to participate? Are you supposed to volunteer? Or are you supposed to simply lift that effort up in prayer support? Pray for God's wisdom, and I believe He will, over time, show you what He wants you to do. Number one, pray. Number two, sign up for the updates. Now, most of you probably have already done this, or you wouldn't have gotten the emails to invite you to join this conversation tonight. But if you haven't signed up for the email updates, that's where we'll be revealing all the information, all the time frames, the deadlines for registering, and all the additional materials to help you make the decision to do the campaign and then to conduct it. Go to the 40 Days for Life website at www.40daysforlife.com, and that's the number 40daysforlife.com. And on every page on that website, you can put your name and email address and hit submit, and you will be signed up for the updates about 40 Days for Life. And you can unsubscribe from that at any time you want, but sign up for the updates so you can keep informed and know what's happening, number two. Number three, learn more. Regardless of where you've at, if you followed the fall campaign, you can still learn more to prayerfully discern what it is you're supposed to do. We made this especially easy for you because on the page where you got either the dial-in phone number or where you're listening right now to the webcast or where you're listening to the recording at this moment, we have right there a big button that says PDF Campaign Report. That report was just finalized just a couple of hours ago and is the 2008 campaign overview. It's a 31-page document that goes into everything about the history of the campaign, what it's made up of, what the timeline of the campaign looks like, the kind of roles and responsibilities you'll need during the campaign. The document is saved as a PDF document. You open it with Adobe Acrobat, which is installed on 99% of computers. But click that button, that document will open in a separate window, and you can begin to read that, begin to share it with other people, and begin to decide, is this right for you at this time? Is it right for your community? Now, right below that button, there are 2 links that are lit up and underlined there. And the first of those is to listen to case studies. Right now, we have 3 audio case studies. They also have the entire transcripts, the written transcript, if you prefer to read rather than to listen. But you can go and listen to 3 of the cities that did 40 Days for Life campaigns prior to this fall. And in the coming days, we're going to add a few more case studies of some of those who participated in this fall's campaign. So you can learn from the people who actually did it what the experience was like, and you can kind of determine, is this something we're prepared to do? Another thing, and the other link below that, is to go to the 40 Days for Life website where you can garner more information. Again, 40daysforlife.com. So learn more, number 3. And then 2 more remaining things. Number 4, spread the word. Begin to talk to other people in your community to determine, are we ready in a week or in a week and a half to sign up for the spring campaign, or are we preparing for the fall campaign? Start to talk to friends and family members, fellow believers. Begin to meet, begin to pray, begin to plan using some of those tools that we've just given you. Also, we desperately need your help to spread the word about the spring campaign to people you know all around the country who may want to do a 40 Days for Life campaign, who may not even yet know what 40 Days for Life is. With a short turnaround time, a week till registrations begin and then another 8 days till registrations close, we really need your help. If you can, spread the word to the people you know. If you have email lists, if you have people you can call, invite them to come to this page where they can read the campaign overview report, listen to the case studies, go through the website. They can get information and decide if this is right for them. And then the fifth thing is just bottom line, make a decision, do it. Just do it, as Nike would say. Decide to join one of the 2008 campaigns, whether it's the spring campaign, which will be from February 6th through March 16th, or whether it's the fall campaign from September 24th through November 2nd. Make a decision to do it, whether as a leader, whether helping out as a prayer warrior. You and the people you know, make a decision and let your community be a part of this momentum that I believe is marking the beginning of the end of abortion in America. Sean, any quick comments you have on how people can make an impact?
Yeah, I just think 40 Days for Life cannot change hearts and minds unless we change our heart and our mind and take all doubt or fear and put it aside and, like you said, make a decision to do this. And it's okay to have fear, but we have to conquer it with faith, because we're going to have to answer two questions in 2008. What will the pro-life movement in my town look like on Easter Sunday? What will it look like the Wednesday after elections? How many lives are going to be saved? How many women are going to be healed? How many clinic workers could potentially or have the opportunity to leave their jobs? Are we going to be blaming politicians? Or are we going to be standing in awe of what God did with just the seed of faith? So take any fear, go to your knees, and make a decision, because life is at stake. And as you saw in this call, God will bless your efforts.
Well, Carmen, if it's okay, I'd like to take these last 10 minutes we have and try to address as many of the questions that we've had coming in. We promised people we'd be done in an hour. Is it okay if we go to some Q&A real quick?
Absolutely. Let's do.
Okay. I've got the questions in front of me, and if you haven't already submitted one, use the little form on your site. We've already got 43 questions that have come in. There's no way we'll be able to answer them, so I'm going to try to hit the ones that seem to be the most frequently asked. And the first one from Roy in Vancouver, Washington: what is the cost of registration? I missed that. The cost is $197, and we tried to keep it as low as possible, and we also have a 30-day money-back guarantee. I mean, honestly, we know you're going to be so blessed by this effort, but if you say this isn't working for us, we'll refund your money. We don't want any bad feelings, but that's a bargain compared to what it cost when we were trying to put together the first campaign on our own. $197, and again, registrations begin for the spring campaign in 1 week on Wednesday, December 12th. Gloria from Grand Forks, North Dakota says, I couldn't be happier to hear this will continue after all these years to finally see the end of abortion. How encouraging. Okay, it's a comment. Thank you, Gloria. We're excited. Meredith in Pittsburgh asks, could you send out an email tomorrow I can send to a couple of other people in other cities encouraging them to start or join campaigns in their city? Meredith, that's a great idea. You will be seeing an email tomorrow, and please forward it on, and everybody else can do the same. Let's see. Somebody says, how can we keep Father Pavone's suggestions in mind to include all efforts to end abortion into these new campaigns? Sean and Carmen, you want to take a shot at that? How do we involve all efforts to help end abortion into these campaigns?
Well, Sean, go ahead.
I think that the thing about 40 Days for Life is it's so attractive to so many different groups of people, and the amount of new people that want to get involved with it. I think that the easiest thing to do is to show other groups, churches, how 40 Days for Life complements what they're doing. And it invites them, gives them the opportunity to make a difference with a little bit of commitment, going out, praying, or praying in their Bible studies into abortion. It gives them the opportunity to take part in the campaign, and the campaign can kind of reach out, spread its arms, and bring more people into the pro-life movement. One of the great points Father Pavone made is when people do go out to vigils, abortion goes off the ballot and into the heart. You see the issue for what it is that people are hurting in this, and we have to give people the opportunity to do that.
One of the things that I would say is that the appealing factor of the 40 Days for Life campaign is that it is peaceful. It is not a protest. That in itself is very appealing to many who have shied away from vigils in front of abortion clinics because they were concerned that they would turn into a protest, if you will, with offensive signing or with activity that they would not be comfortable with. we have found from the fall campaign that this was truly very ministry-oriented, extremely peaceful, with very professional and non-offensive signs and things that were being handed to those who would receive them. So I think that's a very positive aspect. Another positive aspect is the fact that this was a successful campaign. There are many in the pro-life community who want to be a part of something that they know is going to change hearts and minds. This one is doing it. This one is saving lives. And I just feel that if the stories are shared from the fall campaign, you're going to have people lining up to be a part of something that they know is going to be successful as well.
Mm-hmm. Carmen, I'm going to direct this next question to you. John from Sacramento, California asks, what are you at 40 Days suggesting that leaders do to keep unity and not let our theological differences divide us?
One of the things that is extremely helpful is praying together. We, of course, have the daily devotionals that we're encouraging teens to share, to read as a team, then to pray together. I believe that if we each come seeking God, not looking at how someone else is seeking God, not looking at how someone else is praying to God, but instead to focus on our own ministry and our own prayer to the Lord, God will honor that, and unity will result from that. Sadly, we in the Christian community often begin to compare ourselves with one another, and that's when the division begins. So I would encourage you to keep our focus on the Lord, whether it's in prayer, whether it's in sharing devotionals, whether it's in song, and not to worry about how someone else might be praying or how someone else might be worshiping. Just focus on you and the Lord. It's an audience of one.
Mm. Okay, Sean, I'm going to throw this question to you. Actually, the next two I'm going to give to you. The first one is from Roseanne in Dearborn. I was wondering how strict the fasting for 40 days is. Are liquids allowed or gum or anything like that?
Well, David, as you know, everybody in our town was not allowed to eat for the entire campaign. No, what we did was we gave some suggestions of people, of ways to fast, whether it be one meal a day. We did have a few people do nothing but bread and water. We didn't openly encourage that, but we did have people do that. It was done on a personal level, depending on what the person wanted to commit, what they wanted to commit to. But we did allow some people to eat, and so it wasn't too strict. But we encouraged people to fast. A lot of people, I'll tell you, 40 days was the first time they had ever fasted, and it was one of those things where they said, you know, I've always thought about taking a day to fast or doing a fast, you know, during something, but I've never done it, and this was yet again another invitation for them to grow in their faith that way.
Mm-hmm. Well, the next question comes from Peggy in Louisville, Kentucky. She asks, how do people handle security for the vigil if it's 24 hours and the abortion facility is in a somewhat dangerous part of town, more so during the night?
Excellent. Well, the first thing that I've done with all of our campaigns is met with the local police. We have a great relationship with them. Let them know where you'll be, what you'll be doing, and make yourself familiar with the surrounding businesses. Another thing is that I encouraged men to go out together at night. Of course, we don't discourage women going out there because they can go out whenever they want, but if I had young girls, particularly here in a college town, ask me if they preferred when I wanted them out there, I always said kind of before 8 o'clock, just because anything that would happen, it's always worse when a woman is there. And so we had no problems with security, and this was our second 24-hour vigil. The police knew where we were, and the surrounding area knew what we were doing. It was peaceful, and we had nobody stirring up any security issues at all. But always encourage people, obviously, to have at least three people out there in the middle of the night.
Okay. And, Sean, I'm going to also direct this one to you. Nicole in San Antonio is asking, may cities who participated in 2007 participate in both campaigns in 2008?
A resounding yes, and we will be one of those cities. And if you have the capacity to do it, which I think a lot of people do, some don't. Some instantly when they heard about Lent said we can't do it, and that's fine. But some of them do have the capacity to do it. The only reason they wouldn't do it, I think, is fear. And so I would encourage people, if you're one of those cities, a major city or a city with a with a pro-life group or a very active church or active parish, do the one in Lent. Do it in Lent and do both of them, because it can be done. It will be done by a lot of communities. And again, Christmas is a great break, even though David said, you know, look, this is 2 months away, but this is a long month. I mean, people go home, we eat, we gain a bunch of weight, we lay around, and we come back in January and we're rejuvenated. So make the decision, sign up for the campaign if you think you have the capacity to do it. And when you come back, you're going to have a lot of hungry volunteers. And you'll also have a whole group of new people in your town that you can pull from that heard about the fall campaign, didn't participate, but want to do it in Lent.
And my just suggestion is for you in any community to really prayerfully discern that. If there was a 40 days that was just conducted, meet and talk with the local leaders who participated. It is an enormous undertaking, and it will require an enormous amount of commitment on your part. So if you haven't done one, do one. Commit to do one. And if you have done one, then talk to the people who've participated and pray together and decide how best to do it. Now, I have two quick ones I'm going to address, and then I'm going to turn it back to Carmen so we can wrap up. And there are so many other good ones, but I'll tell you a couple things. If your question wasn't answered, which most were not, most of the questions that I've gone through them are addressed in that campaign overview report. So click that big gray button that says PDF campaign report. Start reading it tonight. It's very simple reading. It's written on about probably a second grade level so that I can understand it. And it's very basic information, but it's everything you need to know to make a decision about doing a 40 Days for Life campaign. So if your question wasn't answered, and also I'll go through these later tonight, and if there are some that address needs that everybody needs to know, we'll put those out to the email list through a frequently asked questions type of email. But here are the two I wanted to make sure to address. Paul in Worcester, I assume that's Massachusetts, asks, how do we know if there are others in our community that want to start a campaign? Do you put us in touch with each other? We actually had a couple instances of that this time around where a couple, three different places, people in one city would register for the campaign, and we ended up getting them together. They consolidated their efforts and were able to work together on that. We just don't have enough time between now and the spring campaign. We will try to do more networking before the fall campaign to give you a chance to connect with other people. But if you talk to people you know, you decide to do it, and you register and somebody else registers, we will immediately get the two of you in touch so you can begin to prayerfully discern if you should consolidate efforts and focus, or just focus on two different locations within the same city, which did happen in a few places. And then the last question, Beth in Defiance asks, she wasn't being defiant, she lives in Defiance, do I register online at 40daysforlife.com? And the answer is yes. If you sign up for the email updates, if you don't already receive them, or if you didn't register for this call, somebody just sent you the recording, or you just got the number from somebody else, register at 40daysforlife.com, and we will keep you posted on every development that is happening over these coming weeks and months. So with that, we're excited. We know that God has great things in store for 2008, and we just really are believing His word when He says that with Him all things are possible, and we believe that ending abortion is not only possible, but it will happen, and it's because of His faithful people going out, speaking up for those who cannot speak for themselves, that this victory will be won. Carmen?
Great. So what are we going to do? We're going to pray. We're going to sign up for email updates at 40daysforlife.com. We're going to learn more from the PDF campaign overview report. We're going to share it with others in our community. Most importantly, we're going to decide to join one of the 2008 campaigns. Let's go to the Lord as we thank Him for this time. Father God, we ask for Your blessings on every participant in this call this evening. Go before them and smooth the path for them to easily participate in the 40 Days campaign as You direct. Go beside them, Lord, and ease any feelings of anxiety as You bring to mind the resources and the people that are available to build a strong team. Lord, go behind them. Protect them from the evil one who would snatch away anything good that You would do in and through them. And Lord, we thank You for allowing each one of us to be a part of Your good work. May You receive honor and glory in all that we say and all that we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, folks, and goodbye.
Good night, everybody.